Until quite recently, a young woman in Mary's circumstances would have traveled quickly, but quietly. She would have packed a bag in the night, trundled off to some relatives in the country, and come back several months later, explaining that she had needed a long rest. That doesn't happen so much anymore with unplanned pregnancies, but its equivalent certainly did in Mary's time. So we should not be at all surprised that when the angel told her of the coming of the Messiah, Mary promptly traveled to her relatives who lived way out in the country. But how she went and what transpired there are not at all what we might anticipate. When we first hear the story of the angel's announcement of the unexpected conception of the child Jesus, we might well imagine this young Mary as a fragile, timid creature, astonished at the news and passively obedient to God's command. Many works of Christian art and literature have actually pictured Mary as such. But a more careful examination of the Mary of Scriptures shows that was not the case. When the angel appeared to her and told her that she was going to be a mother, even though she was not yet married, and that the child would be the Savior of the people, she paused just long enough to ask, "How can this happen?" Then, hardly skipping a beat, she replied that she was God's servant, ready to do God's will. She didn't cry out the most natural response, which would have been, "What will people think?" She could have raised 1,000 objections, but she didn't. She eagerly accepted her role in God's drama of human reconciliation, eagerly accepted it, and then instantly acted. Mary of the Gospels is not a fragile blossom, but a sturdy plant growing under most unfavorable of circumstances. Fortunately, it seems she had heard about the unexpected pregnancy of her cousin Elizabeth, a childless woman, believed to even be beyond the childbearing years. Mary sensed immediately that something was up and that the two of them needed time to talk about it. As soon as she arrived, Mary did not hesitate outside, but she just rushed into the house to greet Elizabeth. And as they flew to embrace one another, their spiritual connection sparked with electricity, and Elizabeth and the child within the womb responded immediately to Mary and the child growing within her. This spiritual electricity. You're all probably familiar with Elizabeth's great greeting and Mary's marvelous response. But for a moment, let us step back to look at the great pattern that is emerging in God's dealing with them and through us and with us. The God of our Bible is a God of surprises, a God of impossibilities. An elderly woman who had just given up all hope of childbearing had become pregnant. A young woman who was just engaged was to bear a child before she ever even lived with her husband. The events continue perhaps the most basic theme in the Bible, that God can bring hope and life out of the situations which seem humanly hopeless. That God can bring hope and life out of the situations which seem humanly hopeless. In the culture of first century Palestine was the assumption that children were a sign of God's blessing and God's favor. Mary and Elizabeth both knew that truth as well. Elizabeth thought she was to remain in the category of a pitiable, childless, married woman who had frustrated her husband's ambition for heirs. Mary was not yet married, and thus not yet fully an adult, and dependent on both her parents' and fiancé's favor. But suddenly, each of them found their world turned upside down, completely turned upside down. The direction of each one's life had changed irrevocably with a speed and an intensity that could be attributed only to God. They knew from the story of Hannah and Samuel, as well as others in the scripture, that God delights in surprising people. God delights in surprising people. Elizabeth was resigned to her fate as being childless, and Mary was preparing in an ordinary way for her marriage to Joseph. Then suddenly, God changed the deepest expectations of their lives into a whole new direction. The people search for redemption. Why? Mary tells us, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." The story of Mary and Elizabeth demonstrates not just that God will save us, but that God will save us in the most unlikely ways. God turns upside down all our conventional expectations and surprises us with mercy and with love when and where we least expect them. Mercy and love when and where we least expect them. The great people of Scripture are not necessarily the ones who would make the social register or even our historians' list of the 10, 20, or 50 most important people of the age. They are people that God has chosen because they are ready and they are willing to cooperate, to respond to God, to do God's will, whatever that cost may be. They are people capable of grasping, sometimes haltingly, the big picture of God's created love and justice remaking the earth. Their first concern is not, "What will God do for me?" Instead, they ask, "How can I express my love of God and others? How can I cooperate with God so that the world will become all that God made it to be? God will raise them up to lead the people and to be the unexpected messengers and bearers of God's saving and healing love." Mary sings about God's surprising mercy in her hymn, which Luke reports in her uttering response to Elizabeth's greeting and blessing. "The mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. The mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel according to the promise made to our ancestors." In this scene with Elizabeth, we see Mary, the strong young woman, able to speak with an angel and respond to God in faith. In her hymn of praise, she also demonstrates an awareness of God's care for the whole world and God's readiness to speak and act in the world through willing people. If the rich and powerful are caught up in their own agendas and refuse to work for God's world because they want their own society to dominate, God can work without them. Not needed, not necessary. Willing participants. Mary, however, proclaims that God will give power to the powerless and see that the hungry poor are fed, while the selfish rich feel the sting of poverty. She and Elizabeth, so powerless and so helpless in the eyes of the world, embrace, greet, sing, and rejoice in God's willingness to use them to remake the world. the great prophet John, and the Messiah Jesus will be their children. Because of them and their willingness to respond to God and to do God's will in the world, the whole creation will absolutely be different. Elizabeth could have said, "No, I'm too old, pass me by." Mary might have responded, "No, I'm too young and too insignificant." Instead, both of those women heard God's word, accepted it, and did it. They knew that in God's eyes and in God's plan, they mattered. They mattered. And that even if no other human being around them understood or sympathized, God was with them, supporting and encouraging them just as they comforted and assisted one another. They knew that if even to others they were little people, to God they were important. God would be with them to guide them as they brought healing and as they brought redemption to the people. We are all called in our different ways to be like Mary, to respond to God's word, and to follow God down paths which seem daring and uncertain. Mary encourages us to say yes to God and God's vision of the new creation, and to rejoice that God calls us by grace to give birth to God's word of love, which can make the whole world new. Elizabeth shows us how we are to acclaim God's work and to rejoice in God's redeeming love for us. Her words remind us of the central call to all faithful disciples. Blessed are those who believe that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to them by the Lord. Blessed are those who believed that there would be a fulfillment of all that was spoken to them by the Lord. Amen.